Welcome to Hero Hype, episode 7. I'm Marima.
And I'm Danya.
And we have a very special guest, Caitlin, joining us today because we're going to be telling you all about some really big news in the world of DC TV, and Caitlin is the expert. We have a great show coming up. We have all of the news about the new Supergirl show and all the new casting. We're going to be talking about the return of Flash and Arrow after the mid-season break. Oh, we've got a whole lot of casting news from X-Men to Jessica Jones. Everything is going on. And then, of course, don't you think we forgot the Fantastic Four trailer? We will definitely be having some things to say about that. But before we do, let's talk a little bit about Flash and Arrow. So these came back between our last show, since we recorded. We're very excited. Caitlin, you're our news writer for these on Hyperbole. What did you think of the premiere and the return? We've had two episodes from each so far. How are you liking it all?
Loving.
Loving.
So very much.
My mistake. How are you loving it all?
Because they are fabulous, but for completely different reasons. The Flash is so much fun because it is just fun and ridiculous, and you have characters who the executive producers are describing as the evil Harry Potter. So there's that.
Perfect.
And then Arrow is like ridiculously angsty at the moment, and it's kind of amazing because all the supporting cast is getting to shine, and I'm loving it.
Yeah, I guess I forgot between watching like the mid-season finale and the premiere of The Flash how ridiculous this show was. And I remembered it when the guy from Prison Break turned up in like a giant like ski goggles and his fur jacket and like making cold puns, which was great. Everyone who listens to this show, they know I'm a big fan of the puns. But man, I forgot how like cartoony the Flash villains were, and it just cracks me up so much. But I love it in a good way, like cartoony in a good way, but because they embrace it. But it is slightly ridiculous. But that's fine. Danya, what about Laurel as Black Canary? Now that we've seen it, we were having some problems with this decision.
I actually really like the approach that they took in this episode, that especially the one from this week. So basically her literally getting her ass handed back to her. Like, it was not easy for her. And the characters not glossing over her taking up the mantle of Black Canary from her sister. And kind of being like, you really need training to be able to do this, and addressing that. That was a really, really important thing. So I was actually very, very pleased with the approach that the writers took to it. But I also kind of liked that when she came face to face with her dad, obviously he doesn't know that Sarah's dead, and she uses the alteration on her voice to pretend to be her.
Oh, I was so like, creepy. Okay,
I know, right?
I'm so upset.
Guys, I almost cried, and you know I don't have emotions because I'm a robot. Like, I miss Sarah so much.
Sarah, yeah. I am looking at a Sarah Lance action figure right now. Like, Sarah is my homegirl, so I just find this super upsetting. And then the fact that Lance is so close to her, and then he... God, when he finds out, like, the longer this goes, the crueler it gets for him.
I kind of forgot that he didn't know until this was happening, and then I was like, wait, we still haven't told him? What is going on? Like, you know.
Everyone but him knows. Like, I know. Even her mother knows.
I know. It just seems, you're right, it just seems cruel at this point. Like, you understand why, but I don't know, then we're going to have to deal with, like, some kind of fight between like him and Laurel probably, and I'm just so sick of Lance family drama, you know. It's like, guys, get it together. Even the queens are like more organized than you, and they are crazy. Totally.
So they're
crazy.
Down to only two members at
true who aren't like talking to each other and don't know if where the other one is. Meanwhile, like, On The Flash this week, Wells definitely said, I failed this city. And I was like, oh, it's like my Arrow drinking game has crossed over. Perfect. So that's always fun. And
if you try drinking to that, you would just end up in a coma.
Yeah, I think it's a guaranteed way to get, like, some kind of organ failure. So we definitely don't recommend that. Drink responsibly or something. I really am enjoying, like, all the scenes with Barry and Joe right now. They're just, like, the greatest, I think.
Barry and Joe give me life.
Am I the only one who feels like Barry has more chemistry with Caitlin than with Iris?
I can see it.
I can see it as well.
I'm not, like, feeling the Iris situation at all.
I mean, I don't know. Like, the inevitability thing is there with Iris, so it just, like, they have to keep them apart as long as possible, so I think it makes it kind of awkward them together a lot of times, and they're like, how can we keep them apart until they're destined getting togetherness?
Right. I guess I kind of feel like it's more of the, like, Oliver Laurel situation where, like, on script, that's what they planned, but on screen, it doesn't necessarily work. I don't know.
Except Caitlin's fiance is now alive again. So.
Yeah.
Awkward.
Yeah, super aux. I just realized that the guy that was the bad guy in Flash is the kid from Smash. I totally just realized that. I was wondering where I knew him from. Well, at some point.
And he was great.
Yeah, at some point maybe we'll get a bit of a song and dance from him, which would be lovely.
Yeah.
Well, Grant Gustin is apparently going to sing in the next episode, so I'm very excited about that.
What? Is that a real thing?
They're at a karaoke bar.
My favorite things! Karaoke and Grant Gustin! What?
With Caitlin. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited. Oh, Caitlin, it was so worth you coming on just for that piece of information.
That was such great information because I miss Grant Gustin from Glee, like, so bad.
Yeah.
So having him sing, I'm all for that. A+ planning there, our Flash writers. Just
waiting for the musical episode, considering how many people on that cast can sing. Like, come on.
Well, speaking of, there's another big piece of Glee crossover with the world of DC. We've got our Supergirl, but before we talk about that, it's time for our new segment, A Brief History Of, where we tell you everything you need to know about a character based on the comics. We read the comics so that you don't have to. And this week, we're telling you all about Supergirl. So take it away, Danya.
Everything about you just became so unbelievably clear.
So this time around, I've basically smashed together two different versions of Supergirl. Just because it looks as though they're going to be taking from a couple of different places when they're going into the TV show. So, in Earth 1, Kara Zor-El is the last survivor from Argo City, which survived the explosion of Krypton and drifted through space. Kara was sent to Earth by her parents to be raised by Kal-El when it was discovered that Argo City soil had become poisonous and was slowly killing everyone. On Earth, Kara adopted the identity of Linda Lee and hid her blonde hair under a wig to protect her identity. Superman trained her to use her powers before he eventually revealed her identity as Supergirl to the world. During a cosmic event that threatened to destroy all universes, Kara sacrificed herself in order to save Superman. When the universe rebooted, time had been altered and Earth One Kara was erased from existence. Kara eventually reappears in New Earth with a slightly altered origin. This time, when Kara is sent to Earth, the rocket gets caught in a kryptonite-encrusted meteor, and she arrives years after Kal-El. Kara was eventually found by Superman and received her training from Wonder Woman. After being captured following her training by Darkseid and turned against her cousin, Superman defeats her and fakes her death so that Darkseid won't look for her again. As she assumed her role as Supergirl, she felt out of place and like she didn't really belong. Superman's overprotectiveness made her uncomfortable, but she found kindred spirits in Superboy and Starfire. She embarks on a period of self-discovery, which is interrupted by Lex Luthor, who splits her into a good and evil Kara. The good side of Kara eventually wins out, and she finds peace with herself and Superman. When she joins up with the other heroes to prevent the Infinite Crisis, she's struck by an altered Zeta beam and disappears.
All right, cool. So now we know everything that there is to know about Supergirl. Let's talk about who's going to be playing her. another Glee alum. I guess they're big fans over there. I don't know what this is about.
They must be.
Melissa Benoist, who played Marley Rose on Glee. I have to say I've never seen her on Glee, but I did see her in Whiplash, and she was all right. I don't know. Has anyone, Caitlin, you watch Glee, right?
I am on Glee Chat, even.
Oh, there you okay. go. Here we go. A little plug. Is she any good?
I love her. I think she's great. Her character was kind of over the top, but as you are on Glee, everybody is mm-hmm. over the top. But I think she's very much like the every girl kind of character. She's meant to... That was who she was in Glee, so I think that's a lot of what they saw in her that will work for Supergirl. But she has a number in the superhero episode, Holding Out for a Hero, and she's amazing, and I've just been rewatching her singing that, like, over and over since she got cast.
Oh, no need to wait. I think got you here, right here. And probably, like, from Dunya's history, the thing that you may have taken is she's blonde and the actress is brunette, but don't worry because she has already changed her hair, it looks like. That's exciting, I guess. I mean, you know, that's like a very iconic thing about the character, so that sort of had to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I am actually quite excited about Melissa being Kara. Like, it wasn't a casting choice that I was expecting. I didn't see her name, like, being thrown around in the ring a lot when the rumors were kind of coming around. But I'm actually fairly happy with it, because while I wasn't the biggest fan of Marley on Glee, like, and I think it was mostly down to the writing more than anything else, I think with the material she was given, she did amazingly well. So I'm kind of, with better written material, I think she's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I feel like I've never seen her in my life. So no, she was not someone who people were talking about for this role, which is always exciting to have someone new because, especially when it's sort of left field like this, you feel like, well, they must have a reason for it. You know, they must be doing this for a reason. And, this is from the same, creators of Flash and Arrow, as everyone knows. And they have done a fairly spot on job with casting, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, have you seen Grant Gustin as Barry Allen?
Right. They got it. Yeah. And just like generally across the board with both like comic characters and original characters, they seem to get it right. So I'm not too concerned about that. One other piece of casting news that some people are slightly concerned about is we also have our Jimmy Olsen. Jimmy in the comics is like this nerdy redhead, like photographer, gangly kid. So, of course, they cast Michard Brooks. Who is like a badass babe and also happens to be not white, and people are freaking out about it. Donya, I know you are really excited for this.
See, this is the thing, and this is the thing that I will always say about comic book adaptions, is that a lot of them have come from a time where every single character was white, because it was at an age where that was what was palatable, and you know, you still had like really high racial tensions, so you weren't going to see any people of color on the pages in the books playing any kind of main character. So for them to kind of look at it and look at where they could update it to be more modern and more diverse, because you know, it, those comic books, as much as they may be well written and everything, they are kind of stuck in the past. So I'm completely fine with them recasting and updating the character to fit something slightly more modern, because you know, you can't continue to have all white casts just because every single character in the comic books was white, because it just doesn't work anymore. So I'm completely fine with Jimmy's casting, personally.
They did it on The Flash with Iris and Joe. Like,
yeah,
if the race isn't relevant, let's update it.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And I saw some people were saying, like, oh, but he's meant to be, like, this kind of dorky guy, and Michard Brooks does not look like a dorky guy. Guys, costume, like, you know, he doesn't walk around in his life dressed as Jimmy Olsen. Give the guy a break. He's not cosplaying.
Yeah.
We'll wait and see how that goes. So it's all happening with Supergirl right now. It's very exciting. And we'll be covering this full coverage on Hyperbole.com. And Caitlin, you're going to be in charge of that, right?
I volunteered yesterday.
Yeah, so we will be keeping you up to date on all the developments there. Things are really moving along, so that's always exciting. We have another big piece of casting news. The Doctor is coming to Jessica Jones, David Tennant, everyone's favorite Doctor, don't even try and argue with me on that, is coming to Jessica Jones. He's going to be playing bad guy Zebediah Kilgrave. Is everyone excited about this? I mean, David Tennant as a bad guy, like, it seems to be a bit of a trend in the world of comic books. Like, we had Chris Eccleston, Karen Gillan's been a bad guy. Like, I guess they're fans of Glee and Doctor Who. They're like the number two shows for people who create superhero shows.
I mean, don't forget, Jenna Coleman was in Captain America as well.
Oh, yes, very briefly. How could I have possibly forgotten that momentous occasion?
It was a cute moment.
Yeah.
I'm also obsessive, so it's
yeah. What do you think about Tennant as bad guy?
Hell to the yes. I love him. Just anything that he does is just always phenomenal in terms of his acting. Like, at the moment, Broadchurch season 2 is airing on ITV in the UK, and he is phenomenal in that. Like, his range of, like, going between being a very sympathetic character to you wanting to, like, kind of put your hands around his neck and just, like, shake him is just phenomenal. So being able to see him get, like, a meaty role as a Marvel villain, super excited for it. More David Tennant in all the things.
Yeah, please. In everything. And Jessica Jones is obviously one of Marvel's Netflix shows. We don't have a release date for that yet, but it'll be coming later this year. They're really getting on with all these shows. It's very exciting. Remember when there were just rumors that, oh, Netflix are going to pair with Marvel to do something, and now it's like, bam, bam, bam. Shows everywhere.
It's Bring it so on.
Great. Yeah, this is super great. Speaking of new TV shows, Fox is trying to get in on the game. Fox want to have an X-Men TV series. The bad news for Fox is that they don't own the comic book characters. They only own the film rights. So it sounds like they're in conversations with Marvel at the moment. The problem, of course, being that Marvel and Disney might not be so keen on Fox having competitors to, like, shows like Jessica Jones and
I wonder
Agents
why.
Of S.H.I.E.L.D. Crazy, right? But the way that this article is written, it sounds like it's sort of inevitable that it's going to happen. So I guess it's a case of money. Not that Marvel needs it, but I'm sure they'll be able to work out something that suits them both. I'm so excited for this. Listeners of Hero Hype know I'm like huge, huge, ridiculous, apologetic X-Men fan. So this could be so exciting. And the way that they're talking about this, it sounds like they really want to do something like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. where the TV show ties into the movie universe. So that would be really cool.
I just kind of wonder which characters they'd sort of go with or what direction they'd take it in. Like, I mean, the obvious thing would be to use the Xavier Academy to kind of, like, in an X-Men Evolution kind of way,
mm-hmm.
if you ever watched that. Like, that would kind of be the almost logical way to take it, but I don't know if that's what they'll do. So,
well, it seems like it's going to be really dependent on which characters they can get. Like,
yeah,
it seems like they have the idea of, let's do an X-Men TV show, and then that's literally where they've ended that sentence. Like, it has not gone further than that. And then someone's gone, maybe we should phone Marvel and, like, sort this out. And that seems to be what's happening currently.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's exactly how negotiations work. So there's a little insight for Hero Hype listeners.
Step by step.
Yeah. Caitlin, would you watch this show?
I would give it a chance. I would hope they'd do something interesting with it.
Yeah. It'll be super cool. I love X-Men so much, you guys. I'm so excited just, like, thinking about this. All right. We'll obviously keep you updated as that develops, but it's very, very preliminary at the moment, so no one get too excited just yet. And by no one, I'm talking to myself. Marama, calm down. It's not happening yet. One more big piece of TV news from this week. There's a big twist on Agent Carter. Black Widow is in town, almost. We found out that Peggy's neighbor, Dottie, who turned up as a ballerina, well, that should have really been the tip-off at that point, had some mad skills this week where she, like, totally kicked ass, which was great. And they've now confirmed that, yes, she's come from the Black Widow program. She's going to be, like, a female foil for Peggy, and it's going to be great. And this is a red room, and it's really exciting. Caitlin, I know you don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so just, like, bear with us for a second.
I watched the first episode of Agent Carter.
So. Oh, well, hey, that works. Have you watched... Oh, I'm sorry, I've spoiled you now. Oh, well, too bad.
it's my fault for not catching up.
Yeah, well, it's only, like, 4 episodes, so it's all good. Donya, was that your scream that I heard?
It was my scream. Oh, my God. This was probably the greatest reveal that they could have done on Agent Carter for me, because I've been desperate for them to kind of explore the Red Room kind of backstory to lead into, like, Black Widow's kind of stuff. So having Dottie come from that is super exciting. Not only that she's also going to be a female foil for Peggy. If we start focusing more on their kind of relationship and them kind of coming up against each other, against then the way that Peggy is having to butt heads with her male colleagues at work, I think that's going to add another really interesting dynamic to the whole show. And just having more really interesting female characters that are kind of steeped in a little bit more comic history as well, to sort of bring that up into the Marvel Cinematic Universe and go, hey, we know that you want to see this stuff about Black Widow.
Yeah,
we do. We know you want to see us introduce this, and they are introducing it. Like, when the reveal happened, that was pretty much the sound that I made. The little scream that you, like, the squealy, squeaky noise. That is essentially the noise that I made when it happened on screen. I couldn't stop myself because I got that excited.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, as soon as it happened, I think a keen watcher would realize, like, oh, wow, this is happening. This is where we're going. Yeah, I would 100% agree with that. I've said before, like, what I think Agent Carter does really well is that it represents all women in, like, a facet of ways, not just Peggy as being, like, a special kind of woman who deserves to be recognized, but other women don't. So what was missing from that dynamic was, like, a bad woman, like, someone who is not a nice person, because so far everyone's been, like, pretty friendly and nice and supportive, and, like, that's lovely. But, you know, women are people, guys. We can be bad guys too, or bad girls, or whatever we're using to describe that. and also it's so exciting because obviously, like, whatever they do at the Red Room in Agent Carter becomes canon across the Marvel Cinematic Universe as well, which maybe means that we're going to get a bit more about it from Natasha. Oh, I really hope so.
I hope so.
Please, that would be so exciting. So we shall see as this progresses. I think Dottie is going to be a key figure as we continue on. We're halfway through Agent Carter now. We've only got 4 episodes left. It's so sad. God. But that means that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is coming back. But it means that Agent Carter's over. So I'm sad about that. But so far, this series is going so great. And if they don't use this as, like, a mid-season filler again, I will be so surprised if they don't do it for next season.
I'll be rioting.
Yeah, it just seems to be going, like, very, very, very well. Very, very well. Okay, a little bit more TV news before we talk about movies, just briefly. It looks like we're going to have another Arrow Flash crossover with Felicity and Ray Palmer heading over to The Flash. That should be interesting to see. On Arrow, we're going to see the Suicide Squad again later this season. And on Flash, time travel is going to be really introduced this season, so that is all exciting. Fox has renewed Gotham. Duh, obviously. Shows killing it in the ratings. Like, I don't think anyone was surprised about that. And on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Edward James Olmos has continued to talk about his role without telling us anything. So, all exciting stuff. Caitlin, I want to ask you, because while we have you, what is your, like, Flash theory? What do you think is going on? Especially this week, we saw, I guess, a bit more insight into Wells and, like, what's happening with him. What's your theory? What's your overarching theory? Where is this going? What's happening? Tell us the answer.
Oh, dear God, I don't know. That's why my theory article had a question mark on it. I am so confused about him because I don't know what they're doing, and there is no character named Harrison Wells. So, and they keep being, the actors keep being like, oh, there are so many more twists and turns to come, and nobody has theorized what the right answer is. No one knows. And I'm going, okay. So there's more to it than Harrison is just the Reverse Flash. We saw that he has the speed, and but he does not connect to the Speed Force. But there is, in the comics, a Reverse Flash whose powers come from manipulating time and not connecting to the Speed Force. So I'm wondering if they're basing his character on that version of the Reverse Flash. And that version of the Reverse Flash was more interested in making Barry a better hero by being his enemy. So I'm curious if that's where they're going with this.
Yeah, I had always thought that that was like the tack they were taking. But then I was like, well, that can't be right, because if I'm thinking that that is what it is, then it must be something else. but I don't know. That was kind of reinforced this episode. So
we shall see. It's fascinating because he has speed, but it was, like, coming and going in this episode, so there's something funky going on.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Oh, it's so exciting. Flash has turned into a really good show. Like, a really solid show.
So good.
It's the highlight of my TV week.
Whoa, cool. You watch a lot of TV.
I do watch a lot of TV.
So much. Me too. I think the thing with Flash and Arrow, when it comes to trying to figure out theories for it, what makes it so difficult is that there is no standard comic continuity that they're pulling from. They literally just, like, pick and choose from wherever they feel like. So they'll go, oh, I like this little aspect of Oliver, I'm going to take some of this. Or I like this little bit of Barry, so we're going to take this, but we're going to mix it in with some of this other stuff. So kind of pinpointing it down to come up with a solid theory become, like, based on the comics becomes difficult. Where with, like, a lot of the Marvel stuff, it's a bit easier because there was one, like, kind of main continuity that most people would pull from.
Mm-hmm. I think that's why I really like these TV shows, because it's less a straight adaptation, more an interpretation. Yeah. And it means, like, that's fine in a movie if you're sticking to kind of, like, a vague but general continuity that everyone knows. Like, okay, fine, you only have to keep people's attention for, like, 2.5 hours. If you want to keep people tuning in over, like, 20 episodes, you need to surprise them, and we're not going to be surprised if we know exactly where this is going. So that's exciting. And it looks like, you know, they're doing a similar thing with Supergirl, although we should note Supergirl's going to be on CBS, not CW, so it's not going to be, like, another crossover if people are concerned about that. Although that would be so cool!
Oh, it's the same people. I read a rumor that Greg Berlanti's contract required the ability to cross over, but nobody has confirmed that.
Really? Yeah. That is interesting. Yeah, because when that was first, when people first told you about Supergirl, there was some rumors that it wasn't going to be on CW, and, like, sure enough, CBS snatched it up, so.
CBS partially owns the CW, though?
Yeah.
So it could still work somehow.
Yeah, I think if they wanted to get around it. And that's interesting. If it's in his contract, I would not be surprised. Oh, guys, that would be so cool. I'm so excited again. All right, let's talk about movies, because I need to calm down.
Internet, so help. Been reading that a lot, trying to catch up.
And what better to calm me down than the Fantastic Four trailer, my least favorite of all things. The very first brand new teaser trailer for the reboot. This is coming out in August of this year. So we were talking a couple episodes ago, I think, about, like, well, a trailer should be coming soon. And a trailer has arrived. Has anyone watched this? Has it made much of an impression?
Michael B. Jordan is pretty.
Well, yeah. That was a very coordinated sigh.
I don't know how to put this. I don't think I'm excited for it. I'm maybe not as worried about it as I was before. There was some like very minor aspects through it that I like picked up on. I went, okay, that looks interesting a little bit, but there wasn't enough all the way through to make me go, I need this movie right now, immediately. I was kind of like, they didn't really hint too much about what like Johnny and Sue's relationship is going to be either. Mm-hmm. And that was one thing that like I was mostly kind of theorizing about, like, is it going to be like, is one of them adopted? Are they from like a family that's kind of like, did one of them remarry? Did one of their parents remarry? Like how are they going to work that out? And yeah, we got nothing, which was my major question of it. Like things that I wanted to know was like the nitty gritty, like kind of relationship things, if we would get a hint of it. It also doesn't look like any kind of Fantastic Four story that I know. It kind of reminded me a lot of, Interstellar?
Yeah, it looks like a sci-fi movie, right?
Yeah. So I kind of, like, I was watching it and I was like, am I watching the right trailer? Have I accidentally put on the trailer for Interstellar?
Yeah.
If I clicked the wrong link here, but no, it is the Fantastic Four, which, again, I'm a huge sci-fi nerd. So, you know, maybe as a kind of sci-fi take on this whole thing, it could get super interesting to me just because I love sci-fi stories so much. So while I'm not unbelievably excited for this movie over like any of the other ones due out this year, I'm gonna go and see it. I wasn't sure if I was going to or not at the cinema, but I'm probably gonna, I'll go, I think now.
Yeah. Caitlin, yeah. What about you?
Like, there's so many superheroes out now, obviously, because we're on a podcast talking about it. So they really need to do something interesting to set this apart from everything else that is being thrown at moviegoers. And taking a more sci-fi approach to it could be an interesting way to set it apart. And if future trailers keep kind of playing with that, it might be more interesting. But at this point, I'm just kind of like, eh.
Yeah, it's difficult because, I mean, this is a teaser with, like, 85% just voiceover and nothing else is happening. So it's kind of hard to see how it's going to go. But, yeah, it is interesting to me. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing that they're taking it more in the style of a sci-fi film. Like, it's a very deliberate choice. It's not an accident that it looks like Interstellar. It's a deliberate choice they've made. I will be interested as we see the, you know, proper trailer come out at some point, whether that continues or whether that's just like something they've kind of done for the teaser, because you can make a trailer look like any kind of movie. You know, it's not necessarily representative of what the movie is going to be like. I think my favorite thing about this is the top comment on this article for the trailer is from someone with an unpronounceable name who says, "My biggest concern is seeing Miles Teller in a role where he is supposed to be an incredibly intelligent person. I don't see it."
I read that comment the other day and I couldn't stop laughing for so long. And still now when you were reading that out, like the smile on my face, I was like, oh no, I shouldn't be laughing about that. That's terrible.
That's true though. Like I just have this irrational dislike of Miles Teller. So I find that off-putting, but I really like Kate Mara, so I don't know. Let me see. What are the comments saying? Appalling. No. Awful. Horrible. Looked bad. Eh. Okay. That's the general consensus. People
wow.
are not big fans. So it's not fantastic is what they're saying. Ha ha ha. Hilarious jokes. Yes.
God.
yeah, I don't know. It just seemed like so bland that after I finished watching it, I basically forgot what happened in it. It did not make much of an impression. So we shall see what they do with this. Fantastic Four has never been the most popular franchise. And who knows? Maybe they're going to be able to change that. But it seems highly unlikely. All right, moving on. More exciting news. X-Men! What I always want to talk about. After we finished recording last time, this was announced. We were talking about who we might have playing the young Jean Grey, and we were talking about Sophie Turner, and I think Saoirse Ronan was the other contender at that point. And we were all like, no, I think Sophie Turner would be good. Well, it sounds like the makers of X-Men Apocalypse are listening to hear her hype, because sure enough, Sophie Turner has been cast. She's going to be playing young Jean Grey, and we also have Ty Sheridan and Alexandra Shipp joining as young Cyclops and young Storm. Obviously, everyone's young in these films. That's kind of the point. I think this casting is great. I think this is super, really exciting and, like, really wonderful. I'm on board for all of this. I have not seen Ty Sheridan or Alexandra Shipp in anything, but they look really good. So that's fine. And again, like, the casting on these on the X-Men reboot has been really, really good, I think. The plot has been a separate issue, but the casting has been great. The cast have really sold the ridiculousness of the plot, so that's always good. Danya, what do you think?
Again, like you, I'm not too familiar with Ty Sheridan or Alexandra Shipp, but I'm a huge fan of Sophie Turner, so having her get a role where maybe she can reinvigorate the character of Jean Grey for me, because Jean Grey, in terms of, I've probably talked about this before, she is not my favorite X-Men character. I'm very kind of ambivalent towards Jean Grey in general. I just don't tend to care about her very much at all. But having maybe an actress that I care about quite a lot playing her may help me get more invested in the character, which I'm hoping, because that was a lot of the issue that I had with the first couple of X-Men movies, is that they tended to center it a lot around Jean Grey, and that became difficult for me because I just was like, I don't really care.
Yeah, and I would say that I don't think the actress playing her did a great job at selling the character either. Like, she didn't do anything to improve upon the character of Jean Grey, in my opinion, in the first X-Men films. So yeah. We shall see. Caitlin, are you an X-Men fan?
I go see the movies when they come out. That's about as far as I go.
All right. So what do you think? Can you see these as like the young Halle Berry, the young whoever else these people were played by?
I'm super excited for Sophie Turner.
Yeah.
I love her. So love that. I'm not very familiar with the other two, so I'll just assume that they're probably great because they got cast, and we'll have to see.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be I'm sure they will be super great. Oh, duh, James Marsden. Like, I just lost my mind. I can actually really see that as well. That's kind of creepy. All right. So we'll, keep an eye on that. That's, going ahead. Apocalypse, that's going to be a good time. I'm so excited. All right. Another piece of casting news. We knew that Daniel Brühl had been cast in Captain America: Civil War. Everyone was like, it's probably a bad guy. Yeah, it turns out he's a bad guy. He's going to be playing Baron Zemo. But the more important part of this is that the casting call that leaked his role also seems to include the first official synopsis for Civil War. So it is, billionaire Tony Stark is pitted against Captain America, aka Steve Rogers, in an ethical face-off over the US government's Superhuman Registration Act, which requires all superpowered individuals to register their powers and report to SHIELD. Now, this is not like, I guess, it's big news. We knew that what Civil War was going to be about. The kind of interesting part of that, though, is the inclusion of SHIELD, because anyone who's watching Agents of SHIELD right now will know that it's not like kind of functioning. So we shall see. Donya, do you have any thoughts about his role?
I mean, in terms of the character, it's not entirely surprising who he's playing. I mean, it kind of fits in with the whole idea, but it's the thing that kind of gets me about this was the synopsis, and I'm not entirely sure that this is the synopsis for the movie.
No, well, it seems to be the comic one.
Yeah.
So it's hard to know if they just stole that for the casting call or if they're going with the same thing.
Yeah. It would require a lot of stuff to change probably before the movie hits the screens, though, because it would need to see S.H.I.E.L.D. back up and running and fully operational again.
Right.
Like, with a full worldwide scope to be able... Because, you know, the superheroes aren't... or super-powered individuals aren't going to be, like, contained to America. So S.H.I.E.L.D. would need to be able to be operational worldwide. So, and they're definitely not in the... not at a point where they're able to do that right now. So it's... I think... this is what the movie synopsis is going to be, and rather they've probably included this to give, like, a general idea of what they're getting into from the casting call. So, like, this is a vague idea of the way that we're going to be going without fully giving it away.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, until we know a little bit more about, like, how Baron Zemo is going to kind of play into everything, and until we get a little bit more from, like, the actual synopsis or an idea of how it's all going to play out, which we're probably not going to get until after Age of Ultron anyway, it's hard to make a call on how good this is gonna be in terms of the villain. So
yeah. I think what is interesting about this is that people are wondering, Even if they just ripped off the synopsis, like, is it an indication of the direction in terms of, like, reforming of S.H.I.E.L.D. and what is happening with that? Because, yes, a lot of things need to change, but this movie is, like, not coming out until May next year. And it's now January, and obviously we have Age of Ultron in the middle of that. But Winter Soldier showed us, like, things can change very quickly in the Marvel universe, and obviously it's much easier to break something down than it is to build it up, but we have a lot of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. still to come, and I would personally be really interested to see if they kind of went in this direction of making S.H.I.E.L.D. like the overseer, how that might work out, both in, like, the TV universe and in the cinematic universe. But yeah, it's very difficult to know. Fun fact, if you do want to know why Iron Man and Captain America are going head-to-head, then Tumblr has solved the equation for you. There's this Civil War meme that's, like, floating around the internet right now. We posted some of our favorites on Hyperbole, so I'll link to those in the show notes. Some of these are really funny. Some of them are, like, a little too on the nose about some things in Marvel, like the Skyward ship and Cap, like, losing Bucky and things like that. I think people are like, my personal favorite, I think, is Tony Stark being like, I wish my dad loved me, and Steve being like, he loved me, and then Civil War.
Yeah. I actually saw one the other day that got really, really meta, because it was basically like one of them was like, I hate those Civil War memes. And the other one was like, I like those Civil War memes. And then it was like, Civil War.
Oh. Yeah, I can see that. Okay, final piece of movie news, and we're not going to dwell too much on this, is Joss Whedon gave a recent interview where he was talking about Age of Ultron. In the process of that, he was asked about the lack of female superhero films. And he said, there's a phenomenon in the industry that we call stupid people, and talked about, like, sexism and misogyny that goes on in Hollywood, how they blame, like, two bad superheroes, which we assume he's talking about Elektra and Catwoman, which were terrible movies, everyone would agree. And then he said, Marvel is in a position of making a statement simply by making a female-led movie, which I think would be a good thing to do, but it has to be a good movie, it has to be a good character, and most of the best characters in Marvel are owned by Fox, let's face it. And lots of people are saying, like, oh, Joss Whedon, great feminist, love him, he's the best. I wrote an article about this, which I will link, so you can complain in the comments to that, like everyone else has, about, hey, maybe you stop talking about why we should have a superhero movie and, I don't know, make one. Like, that would be helpful. You know, it's all very well for him to say, like, whatever. But especially the last bit about Marvel and about it, you know, being a good movie and et cetera. He says, you know, there's always excuses for why people don't make this film. And that sounds like he's making excuses for why he hasn't, because he was in a very powerful position at Marvel. He was their creative consultant for Phase 2, which meant, like, he kind of shaped the films, making sure they didn't, like, kind of mess up with Avengers and all of this. But it also means if he had decided to really push, for example, Black Widow, a character that they already own, he would have been in a good position to do that, or at least propose a, you know, at least kind of campaign for that, which he hasn't done. And, like, you know, Joss Whedon, you made Buffy, like, good job. That doesn't mean you're done, you know. That's not your one, like, feminist contribution. And Buffy, when not starting, has some issues. but you can't be like, okay, I did Buffy, like, done. I'm done now, next. You know, it's, like, one thing to make these broad, sweeping statements, and it's another thing to, like, actually do something about it. Oh, I'm just making myself mad even talking about it. Did anyone else want to say anything about this?
I mentioned this to you a little bit earlier today, but my other issue that I took with this is that I like that it started creating a conversation about this and more people kind of going, yeah, why don't we have more female superhero movies? But what I really dislike about this is that there are a lot of us, there are a lot of women and people who are fans of comic books who've been saying this sort of thing for years, and it just riles me up a little bit that a very high up person in the entertainment industry who is, again, a cis white male, has to be the authority to say there's a lack of female superhero movies and it's all because of stupid people in the industry, for people to kind of rally up behind him and go, yeah, Joss Whedon, amazing. And it's like, no, we've all been saying this for forever. We've all been campaigning for, like, a Black Widow movie, or a lot of us wanted a Captain Marvel movie, and there's so many other directions that you could take it in. Why does it take it having to be Joss Whedon making a statement about this for it to suddenly be okay to ask for it?
Yeah, it's like that Dogue meme, like, Joss Whedon, much feminist, like, such good, wow. Like, that's yeah. It. It's just, you're like, oh, great, Joss Whedon. And, yeah. Caitlin, have you been keeping up with this story? Do you have any thoughts about it?
I tend to agree with what you guys have said. It's, you know, it's nice to talk the talk, but eventually you got to walk the walk. And making a great show 15 years ago does not excuse a lack since.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so, you know, just one of those things, because, you know, that's fine. We'll just wait until 2017 for Wonder Woman, maybe, depending how, like, Justice League goes, and 2018 for Captain Marvel. That's a reasonable amount of time to wait for a female. All right, let's move on. Some more headlines from the world of movies. In the world of Warner Brothers, DC, Batman might be making an appearance in Suicide Squad with the Joker. Jason Momoa has talked about Aquaman's role in Batman vs. Superman, which is going to be very small, probably just a cameo, because it doesn't sound like he's filmed anything yet. Batman vs. Superman is only going to have one scene between Batman and Lois Lane. So, you know, that's interesting, I guess. And Jude Law revealed that he was almost Superman, which is hilarious. We will talk more about that in a second. But before we do, in the world of Marvel, Paul Bettany has said that the Vision is also going to be in Avengers Infinity War, so a multi-film character role, which is exciting. There's some new photos of the Age of Ultron cast for Empire as well on the cover and inside. Like, we've seen those before. It's fine.
I've got one really funny little thing to kind of bring up about the Empire cover that I noticed straight away.
Go ahead.
If you go and look at the one that has the entire cast laid out, you can see on the left-hand side, Scarlet Witch is in the typical pose that is for a woman on some kind of movie poster or on promotional material. But if you look all the way on the far right side, Hawkeye is also in that same traditional position for a female. And I don't know if this is Marvel's way of basically doing a riff on the Hawkeye Initiative meme that went around, where a load of artists and fan artists took Hawkeye and basically drew him in like awful, weird positions that female characters had been posed in for comic books that were completely like unbelievable and not real. So I don't know if that's their kind of version of like, we see you guys, we know what you're doing, here's Hawkeye showing his booty.
Maybe they just realized that the entire internet would be so pissed if they put Scarlet Witch and Black Widow both in the like ass to camera position.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, like, Joss Whedon, how about that as a starting point? Like, there's a campaign for you. Put women facing the front, like, in promotional material for your movies. You know, how about that? How about doing that?
Yeah. But I thought that was quite amusing, or at least it amused me, so.
Yeah, no, I've seen that art. It's actually, like, kind of amazing, a lot of it. It could be. If not, just pretend that it is. That's fine.
Yeah, makes me feel better.
We have confirmation, I guess. We basically knew this, but we have confirmation Joss Whedon will not be directing Infinity War. He's, like, done with the Avengers. He's ready to move on. Chiwetel Ejiofor might be co-starring in Doctor Strange with Benedict Cumberbatch. This is really exciting. I love him. He's fantastic. Yeah. So that would be great. We don't have a character or anything yet, but he's circling a role. So we will keep you posted on that. And we have what seems like confirmation now of Andy Serkis's role in Age of Ultron, which we basically all had guessed from the trailer. But, you know, if you weren't sure, he will be playing Claw. You can kind of tell from the, like, committed facial hair, let's call it that, that he's rocking in those. And the interesting part about this is that obviously the character is linked to Black Panther, so once again we'll probably be appearing in more than one Marvel movie or providing some degree of crossover. So God, I'm exhausted. So much news this week. All right.
I know.
Well, let's do our quotes of the week. Where we tell you the greatest things that have been said this week.
Oh my God, you ever shut up, pal?
No, not when I'm awake.
I'm going to start off with a great quote. This is linked to one of our stories from before, which is, I don't want to spend the rest of my life being that guy who played Superman. For a minute, I was. I saw myself. No need for the rest of the world to see me. Which is Jude Law explaining himself trying on the Superman costume when he was asked to do it and deciding that was enough, essentially living out every cosplayer's fantasy. Can anyone imagine Jude Law as Superman? Oh, like, isn't this just the weirdest thing? I don't know why this is so funny to me, but it is.
Every time I try, I just keep getting the giggles.
Yeah, I've noticed.
You keep going from, like, Watson to Superman and back, and it's not working.
Yeah, or like Alfie. I don't know if you guys saw that terrible remake, but that was also wow. It's kind of like imagining, I don't know, Hugh Grant as Superman or something.
Oh,
like, I've seen Jude Law in so many of those like English like roles, and I just find it all very funny. All right, Danya, take it away. What's your quote of the week?
So my quote is from a Constantine episode where after Manny, who is kind of Constantine's guardian angel, finds out that Constantine's basically invited a demon into his body. He's like, what are you doing? Like, you're the stupidest person. What the hell? And he just retaliates with, I'm John Constantine. I do stupid in spades. And it was just a line that just sums up John Constantine completely. He's just an idiot. He does so many stupid things. That but it, me, the delivery of the line was perfect as well.
Makes me want to give Constantine another shot, lines like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might have to get back into that. Caitlin, what about you? Looks like you've got a TV quote as well.
Yeah, mine's from this week's Arrow, and in a banner moment, we had two women talking to Woo-hoo! Each other, and Felicity and Laurel. And after Laurel's gotten her ass handed to her multiple times, she's telling Felicity she's not going to go out, and she says, "I'm not strong enough to fight for Sarah," and Felicity replies, "Maybe you're not supposed to. Maybe it's not about Sarah or Oliver or anyone else that we care about who we lost. Maybe what we're doing, we've been doing because there are people that we care about that are still alive. Maybe we're doing it for them." So she's kind of making the mission that Oliver had to protect the city the mission of the team. And I kind of love that Felicity has sort of taken charge of this group in Oliver's absence. And it was her coming back and recommitting to the mission that really brought everybody back together. And it was pretty great.
Yeah, I love that you chose this one, because I wanted to mention, I totally forgot how great that scene was between the two of them. Especially because I really like that they've just decided we're not going to have any like issues about the fact that, like, you know, they were both with Oliver or Oliver's Laurel's ex or like any of this stuff. They've just decided, you know, these are two women who have a lot in common. Like, they're awesome. I mean, Laurel, you know, whatever you think about Laurel, and I am not the biggest fan of Laurel, like, she's somewhat admirable in like what she's trying to do. But yeah, I like that Felicity came and took charge, and because I was a little worried it was going to be, you know, Roy or Diggle that were like, "All right, guys, let's do it." Joke's on them. They need Felicity because Felicity's the best. Duh.
Felicity holds everything together.
Yeah, obviously, with her perfect like ponytail and lipstick combination.
Hashtag Team Felicity.
Yeah, forever. All right. That's it for our quotes of the week. Make sure you guys let us know what quotes stood out to you. You can tell us on Twitter at Hero Hype Podcast or in the comments on this post. Something else you can ask for on Twitter is suggestions for our brand new segment, Comic Corner, where we give you comic book suggestions to get you started based on a character or a plot or perhaps a movie or something that you're really interested in. You might love the TV show or the film, but you don't know where to start with the comics. And in honor of it returning this week, we are going to be telling you all about Oliver Queen, Green Arrow.
Sky, Trip, get ready for a large file transfer.
How large?
So, Donya, what should we be reading?
So I started off with a collected trade called Green Arrow Year One. So if you're looking for the Green Arrow's origins, then Year One is the place to start. So it kind of picks up where Oliver is stranded on an island after being betrayed by one of his friends, and he needs to figure out what really matters to him. And I'll give you a clue. It begins with J and ends in Ustis.
Oh, I'll be pondering that one for a while.
The next trade that I picked out was The Longbow Hunters. This is actually a very critically acclaimed mini-series where Oliver swaps out his trick arrows for real ones, and he goes from being more superhero to vigilante. So it follows him down as he goes into like a violent underworld, and he's tracking down a serial killer to put a stop to them. It's a very, very short series, very, very well written. After that, I would recommend moving on to a trade called Quiver. This is actually written by Kevin Smith. So if anyone's a fan of the movie Dogma, he's obviously the person who did that. And this is a series that follows the resurrection of Oliver. So he returns to the world after being presumed dead in a plane crash for many years. And Smith manages to make the no superhero is ever truly dead trope far more believable and interesting than any other take I've ever seen. Another trade that I recommend is one called The Archer's Quest. This follows on directly from Quiver, and this series digs into Oliver's past as he kind of heads off on a road trip with Roy to track down items from his life that have sentimental value. It offers a very poignant and emotional look at Oliver Queen and his flaws, and really packs a punch to the gut. And the other recommendation that I've got for Arrow is the New 52 reboot. Now, this makes Oliver a younger protagonist than in the previous trades, and he's already Green Arrow when it picks up. The first two trades, compared to the writing and all the ones I've recommended previously, are kind of weak, but it picks up around the third trade in the New 52, which is called Harrow, which sees Oliver struggling with losing his fortune and his entire arsenal that helps him become the Arrow, and it kind of sends him into a bit of a downward spiral, and every trade from there on has been fairly solid.
Harrow, that's funny.
I know.
That was my takeaway. Yep, I would definitely read it for the rhyming joke. All right, so that's everything you need to know. If you are a fan of Arrow, that's where you need to get started. And we actually did Flash last time, Barry Allen Flash. So if you're fans of that world, you might want to check out some of those as well.
And the series tie-in comics.
Yeah, and the series tie-in comics. Do you read those, Caitlin?
I have just downloaded them to read. I got a Kindle Fire for Christmas, so I'm planning to read them soon.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I haven't checked them out, but I've been thinking about it. So you can report back and we'll let people know. What do you think? Okay, so that's it for the show. Let's get to some feedback. Last week we asked you if you could have any spin-off hit the little or big screen, what would it be? And you guys had some great suggestions, and so we are definitely going to steal these and like pitch them to some studios. Also, lots of ladies represented here. Can I just say, like, big props to the Hero Hype listeners who have great taste. All right, so let's see what they've got. Lizzie Granger said, I would like a post-Lazarus Pitts, Sarah Lance, and Sin miniseries spin-off, hashtag please bring Sarah back. Oh,
hey,
yes.
Add some Nyssa, please.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Oh,
that's the greatest idea I've ever heard. Why isn't Sarah alive? Why do we only have stupid Oliver? Ugh, guys. Oh, I mean, Oliver is great, but, like, come on.
But you Sarah know. Was Sarah.
I need a Canary spin-off. That's, yeah, that's so true. All right, what else have we got? Cassie Drake. Oh, she's having a joke, I see. Spin-off Aunt May. Yeah, it's fun to pick on Sony, isn't it? No, seriously, though. Black Widow and Cap webisodes. Just them chilling, being epic BFFs, and playing matchmaker. Yeah, I could see that. That would be fun. I could just shoot them, like, on the, you know, when they're doing pickups or whatever. They can just hang out. It could just be the actors just hanging out filming those.
Yeah.
With some Bucky cameos.
Bucky yeah. just walking in the background in his pants carrying pizza.
Yeah.
Just taking this.
Perfect. Perfect. All right. What else have we got? Cerulean Snidget. Here's one for you, Dee. As far as spin-offs, ever since you mentioned it, I can't get my mind off a Young Avengers film and or TV series, mostly because I'm a huge fan of Kate Bishop. Actually, I'd settle for a Hawkeye TV series based on the Connor comic book series where Clint and Kate fight crime and bicker a lot. Yeah, I want to see that Hawkeye series. I want to see it like Hawkeye and Hawkeye, kind of like a old-fashioned like detective, you know, like someone and someone, like those old detective shows. Yeah. And there's like, and they just fight all the time and then like solve mysteries and in this case, like fight crime. And it would just be so great.
So, be so perfect. Effect like it is probably my dream to see that happen. It'll yeah. probably never happen, but I would love it so much to see a Kate and Clint team up, because please,
yeah,
if anyone is listening to this and can make it happen, just make it happen.
Make like a fan one, make a someone get on YouTube, like that's where it's at these days.
Oh
yeah, there you go.
Ooh.
All right, one more from Evelyn, who said, although it would never happen, I'd love an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. spin-off show featuring Melinda May. Basically, I just need more Melinda May in my life. Yeah, that's a good outlook, I would say. Just more Melinda May improves everything. So many ladies. You guys have chosen well. I would definitely watch that Melinda May show. I think that would be a commonly requested one. Maybe that can be another one.
Some kind of prequel.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a prequel series?
Yeah, called The Cavalry. And then it's just her, like, kicking ass and also, like, you know, meeting Coulson and, like, their relationship and, like, oh, everything. Oh, it would be so great. Oh, okay. All right, calm down. Okay, and then some other things you've been telling us on Twitter. Madge Elizabeth said, Comic Corner is a brilliant idea and I love it a lot. I'm surprised it didn't start with Hawkeye, though. Me too. Me too. And
I'm trying to be good.
Yeah. I have to physically restrain Donya every week just to stop her from doing that. And Jamie said, just started listening to the podcast and I'm 2 episodes in and I'm hooked. Love the opinions on the show. So nice to have you with us, Jamie. And you can let us know what you're thinking, what comic book recommendations you want, what your thoughts are on all of the news we've talked about this week on Twitter at Hero Hype Podcast, on Hypeable.com, where this podcast will be going up. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode. We release episodes every fortnight. That means 2 weeks if you live in America. on like Thursday night, Friday morning, that's when you can expect them. So just sit on your iTunes and refresh. And speaking of iTunes, if you would like to leave us a review and a rating in iTunes, we would really appreciate it because it would help other comic book nerds find us. And what we're really about is uniting all the nerds worldwide. So if you can take the time to do that, we would love that. That would be so friendly of you. Okay, question of the week. Donya, you thought of this one. Why don't you tell us what it is?
So my question of the week is, what female-led superhero movie would you have liked or like to see Joss Whedon helm?
Yes, that is a great question. Keeping it with the lady theme. That's what we like to see here.
All ladies all the time.
Yeah, that's basically our slogan. We should put that on Twitter.
All ladies all the time.
Yeah, I thought our slogan was going to be one human and one robot watch TV series about comics. But, you know, guess which is which. All right, so that's it for Hero Hype this week. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Caitlin, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your expertise with us.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, anytime. You can come back whenever you like. And we'll see everyone in 2 weeks with all the news, all of the thoughts, all of your thoughts. Until then, I'm Marima.
I'm Danya.
I'm Caitlin.
And we'll see you then. Bye.
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 Okie dokie.
We'll be right back.